Good morning. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of man, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they shall give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you revile for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God, a glory and of God, rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Amen. Now, this passage, again, is just continue on the theme from 1 Peter of suffering. And what do we do in suffering? And actually, chapter 4, you know, honestly, I would have hoped that some of the things that were in chapter 4 would have been expressed a little bit earlier. Because in chapter 4, he really describes what the suffering is about. If you look at verse 14... 15, he says, by no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in the name let him glorify God. And the idea here is that when we talk about suffering, sorry, does this bother you guys? I could see better. Okay, so I'm sorry. There's no video, so I can do this in the mornings. So... Right, as some people told me about them before, but it's okay. So, what this is referring to, that there is this idea that there are troublemakers and suffering, and what Peter's talking about, the suffering that he's talking about, is I think sometimes very different than suffering that we talk about in church. I gave the illustration yesterday. If I'm married now, if I go have an affair and I have a baby with another woman, I'm suffering, but it's my fault. Right, I can't rejoice in that suffering. You know what I mean? That suffering I did to myself. In the same way he talks about you that are a murderer or an evildoer or a thief or a troublesome meddler. In other words, one who oversees others' affairs. He says there's not really much joy in that. It doesn't mean God can't help you in that way. But what he says, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed. If you're a murderer, a thief, you should be ashamed, okay? I mean, let's make it very clear. There should be a sense of repentance or a sense of wrongdoing and guilt inside our hearts. But so the suffering that Peter is talking about is I feel like a lot of times we really miss this in the church. We feel like any suffering, you know, like people are like, oh, I'm really down, I'm suffering about something. Well, what's going on? And they realize, well, actually, I got drunk last week. And then I got drunk, and then I, you know, went out with somebody, and da-da-da. You know, it's kind of like, you're not suffering. I mean, you're not suffering in the biblical sense. You are just basically living out the consequences of your sin. Two very distinct things. And so I'm glad that Peter really addresses this pretty much straight on, that there is a difference between a worldly kind of suffering. And listen, by no means am I saying that that is still suffering. There's an endowment of pain in our life. But I think there's a very clear distinction of suffering that we place on ourselves and suffering in the name of Christ. Or probably a better way is using the word persecution. But the word persecution actually goes back and forth with suffering. But I just want to make that distinction so that we're very, very clear. And he says that when we suffer persecuted in that sense, then he says, man, there's a reward for you. There's great things that God has in store for you. That God's got a purpose in the suffering that's going on. And in fact, what it does is it models Christ. Paul's great prayer in the Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his and the fellowship of his suffering. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about we join Christ in what he has suffered. And there's a great, great godly reward for that in our lives. And then we get to the beginning here. And so the statement, therefore, that basically he's connecting the thought before and he's bringing a conclusion in that thought. And so he says it in the beginning of 4, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same purpose. Now, the suffered in verse 1 refers to suffering death. Okay, so it's talking about the crucifixion. Arm yourselves, and Peter is using a military term. He's really giving us this viewpoint of spiritual warfare. And he uses this term, arm yourself. In other words, put on the armor of God. Gird yourself. Be ready to fight, because this is a spiritual battle that we're fighting. Though something is happening to your flesh, you know, Christians are being thrown into the Colosseums, and there's something happening in the flesh, but Peter is telling us, but this is spiritual warfare. So arm yourself. I really like the way that he's using words in this way to draw a picture that goes beyond the physicality of suffering or the physicality of persecution that happens. And a lot of times there is a physical thing that happens. I think maybe in our time, no one's going to hit us because we're a Christian. You know, we don't live in the Middle East or other countries where that may be happening there, Bangladesh and India in some places. But I think that a lot of times what our modern, what we call first world issue, when we talk about the issue of persecution, I think it's more of an emotional thing for us. In the sense that you may be shunned in some way, you may be denied certain things, you may even be looked down upon. And so even though we may not endure the physicality of persecution, I think in our modern age, and even in Hong Kong, we probably endure the emotional aspects of that. Okay, so just something to keep in mind, just give us some context. And so he's talking about this, that because Christ has suffered, he ultimately paid that price, we need to arm ourselves. We need to recognize there's a spiritual warfare that is happening around us. And how is that warfare played out? The warfare is played out by godly living, but now he begins to draw this. And notice these seven sins that he looks at. And seven sins, but seven vices as well. And he talks about sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And so he's, you know, some of these things are not so much outright sin in essence, but they lead to certain things. And the scriptures will tell us, be aware of every appearance of evil. And so Peter is drawing this picture for us that it's not necessarily just outright sin, but certain things, vices, will lead to something else. And I think we have to be very, very aware of that. In the writer of Hebrews, he'll tell us that basically get rid of the sin that so easily entangles, but also get rid of the encumbrances. And he says that so easily entangles us. And so the idea of encumbrance is the same kind of picture here, is something that could be, it's okay. It's sometimes maybe neither good nor bad, but it keeps you away from running as hard as you can. It's an encumbrance. I went running this morning, and you know, when I went running this morning, I didn't take my keys with me. I didn't take my phone with me. You know, I didn't have my backpack. I didn't have my Bible. I didn't have 6 books. You know what I mean? I got rid of as much as I could so that I could run and I could run well. So just shirt, pants, socks, shoes. That's it, right? Underwear, if I'm going to be technical, okay? It's tough. I shouldn't have said that. But you know what I mean? And so the idea is when we're running hard, you want to get rid of these encumbrances. I think the idea that Peter's trying to say is when we're going after God, when we're arming ourselves in warfare, then we should be quite careful of some of these things, like drinking parties. I mean, where did that come from, right? It could lead to, obviously, drunkenness and other things. Just as an aside, at SP, I'm not in terms of a value as a church. I'm not a big drinker, and I've never been drunk. You guys know my testimony in these things, but I think drinking is not the worst sin in the world either. Right? I think as a value for church, I think it's where you do it. I think that's what matters. I mean, if you're at a club and trying to pick up girls or whatnot, you know, and I think that's a no-no. If you're at a wedding and there's a celebration, you're at a family dinner or something, you know, wine, I think it's not a big deal. You guys understand what I'm saying? So I just want to make sure that we understand values. Now, for church, we don't drink at church events, period. And retreats or whatnot, I know that some of the under 26 knuckleheads went out and drank at their thing, right? I already had a talking to with them. That's not one of our values, okay? In other words, one of our values is not we need to have alcohol to have fun. That's not a Christian value, nor is it an SP value. And so I just want to make very clear about what we believe as a church in this regard. And so he's talking about these things because, remember, the key is arming yourself. You arm yourself for this spiritual warfare that really persecution and suffering plays a huge role in. There's a warfare going on, and it's not so much a warfare in the sense that, God, don't let this happen, and there's that side of warfare, but the warfare is really what's happening within us. How are we going to react to the persecution? Are we going to react in such a way that hope begins to arise and then people can see grace on our life? Or is the warfare going to take place is that when we are persecuted, that we just get down, you know what I mean? And we get lost and we start complaining and all this. And you basically lose the opportunity of reward in certain ways. That's a huge thing. I'll just throw one thing out there, okay? I think a lot of our members are going through spiritual warfare in the issue of joblessness. You know, we have a list of people that we pray for. The warfare, some of it is about getting a job. I understand that, okay? And we pray to that end. I think the real warfare that takes place is what happens in the individual's heart. The warfare of, can I still trust God? Is God still going to provide for me? Is he going to provide for my family? Is he going to provide for my kids? The warfare really is hope going to arise? Am I going to trust God? In verse 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. In other words, the warfare that takes place is saying, God, I trust you. I don't see anything in front of me, but God, I trust you. I don't understand what's going on, but God, I think that is the real warfare. And so he says, arm yourself for this battle. And I'm not taking this lightly. I think that's a huge thing for us in our lives. You look at other areas of persecution or suffering that we're going through. I think a lot of times that becomes really the main issue in that. God, Can I trust you? Maybe you are in prison. I don't know if you know the stories that have been going around. The Korean American that's in prison right now in North Korea. You know, he's a YWAMer. He actually is a director of the school in Dandong, which is a very well-known school. It's actually the hotel that YWAM owns, and he's one of the directors there. And he's in, and that's warfare. But I guarantee the warfare going on in Kenneth Bay right now, that's the guy's name, we should be praying for him, is that, God, can I still trust you in this place as he's probably getting tortured and all these other things? God, can I still trust? Isn't that powerful? And Peter's reminding us, yes, because there is a reward. Yes, you can trust God because of Jesus Christ, because he suffered ultimately in our behalf. And so we have this great example in Christ, you know, this gospel who are in this place. And so in verse 7, in the end of all things at hand, therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. What is your weapon when it comes to this warfare? It's not good intentions. It's not wishful thinking. It's not power of the will. It's prayer. It's prayer. And so he says, be of sound judgment, sober spirit. In other words, get your act together so that your prayers would not be hindered. So you could pray. Remember in the verse, in the chapter before, alluded to prayer again, and it was, be in right relationship with your spouse so your prayers won't be hindered. It's the same idea. This is the warfare that we fight. It's prayer. Again, not wishful thinking, not the power of our will. Okay, it's not in any of these things. Our power that we arm ourselves is prayer. So you need to be purposeful in all of these things that happen. And when we talk about these things, we talk about you share the suffering of Christ. Because Christ has done this, you can do this as well. And not only just because he'll arm you, he'll help you because he suffered. Hebrews chapter 4. He says, we do not have a great high priest who does not sympathize with our weaknesses, but one has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. So therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find our help in our time of need. That's powerful. And so we have a high priest who sympathizes, because he went through it as well. I mean, he ultimately was persecuted to death. And so when we go through our persecutions, when we go through our sufferings, we can look to him who sympathizes with us. And then he gives us access to the throne room of God, Hebrews chapter 4. Isn't that awesome? And that's what Christ makes available to us. And such an encouraging word to the church in Asia Minor that's encountering incredible suffering in these times. So let's close our eyes. Let's go before the Lord. And let's pray. Let's pray individually, but also corporately. Pray for, you know, like, I mean, the example I gave you today was those that are jobless right now. Pray for that warfare. Pray for, we're going to pray a moment for those who are sick, and we're going to pray in that way, but pray for that warfare. Yes, one aspect of the warfare, which is the external, is that person can get a job, that person can be healed. But the other flip side, the internal aspect of the warfare, is that they could trust God and their faith would grow in the midst of this. And so as Jackie leads us in a song, let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's go to him and let's seek his face.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply go longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus.
Let's pray. Let's go before the Lord this morning, and let's pray for ourselves in the warfare, dealing with suffering and persecution, or if it doesn't really relate to you, let's pray for others that you know, either who are sick, jobless, whatever it may be, that are going through persecution and suffering. Let's pray and ask God to arm them or yourself in this warfare that's going on. And let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. And let's pray for in that duality of warfare that we're talking about. One side being, Lord, heal them. The other side, God, is encourage them. Help them to trust you and to grow in their faith. And let's pray for those with cancer, those that are going through chemotherapy, and Vince, who is still looking for a transplant. Let's just continue to seek God in this duality of warfare. Let's pray for our community that is sick, but more than that, that need that word of salvation, that need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray for opportunities. Let's pray people would surround them. Let's pray the prayers of the saints rise up like incense before God, that the word of salvation would go forth over these ones. Now let's lift them up. Let's pray for those that are sick with different illnesses, non-cancer related. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Just as a praise report, you notice at the down, Lizzie, her operation was very successful. They said they actually didn't even have to use a synthetic. There was enough of her skull to put everything back, which means that she won't have another surgery later on. And so God just done some amazing things. And so let's just continue to pray for her recovery and others on the list as well. Huh? Let's lift up. Let's pray for those that are looking for work. Let's pray for the warfare. Let's pray, again, that jobs would come, but also the warfare of their heart, that God would encourage them. They would grow in their faith. They'd grow in their trust of God, that this would really be the opportunity of faith in their life to really trust Him and give themselves completely to God. Let's just cover them right now. Let's go to our next prayer focus. Let's pray for Indonesia, Frebe and Kupang, and let's pray for Singapore as well, our future church plan. Let's ask God to touch these countries and begin to move over them. Pray Holy Spirit would just lead and guide every step and decision that we make as a church regarding these areas. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the college group. Let's ask God's hand to be upon each of these ministries and the leaders there. Just pray for a real incredible blessing in the kids and the students that would just continue to grow in grace and grow in God. And let's pray. Let's pray for SP families and marriages. Pray for love, healing, unity, restoration, protection over kids, over husbands and wives. I believe tomorrow is Mother's Day, correct? Right? Let's pray a special prayer for all the moms and all the great work that they do in raising the families. Let's just cover. Let's pray for house churches meeting today, Bel Air, McDaddy, and Robinson family. Well, let's ask God to bless leaders, and they would just really connect to each other, connect to God today. Let's cover our weekend before the Lord. Let's pray for our services, two services. We'll continue our series on humility, part four. Let's pray for our worship team that's leading Hyunsoo's team this week. Let's pray over the hospitality ministries, welcoming barista. Pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth. Pray for the outreaches, all the meetings. There is a board meeting tonight. I know there's a retreat going on for Igapi teachers right now. Let's just ask God to just bless Pastor Sophia out there and the things that they're doing at the meeting there. Let's just cover this weekend and just pray that God would just be supremely glorified in all things. There's also the ladies who brunch this morning as well. Let's cover them. And lastly, let's pray for the Israel trip. We have a team of nine leaving tomorrow night, Sunday night, for roughly about 2 weeks. Pray for a trip. It's Jordan, Egypt, and Israel. And so let's just pray for covering. It's not the safest place in the world right now, but no worries, right? God's with us. And we're going to experience God in a powerful way and earn a greater appreciation of God's word.
And so let's just cover the team and the itinerary, the logistics, all those things. Lord, we thank you this morning. We bless you, God. We thank you for the word, Lord. And we thank you again, God, for the example of Jesus Christ in our life. Lord, you are everything to us, and you lead us into everything, God. You're the example of everything. And so we thank you, God, that no matter what the question is, Lord, Jesus is the answer. And so we bless you, Father. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend at church.